Hopper?
Yes.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Just give me one moment and we'll start this hearing. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Joseph Leroy Hopper, 078426.
Thank you, sir. And good afternoon. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge of home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working toward me. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. I would like to begin this hearing with a summary. Mr. Joseph Hopper, ADC number 078426, is 51 years old. On January 19, 1990, Mr. Hopper was found guilty by jury trial and sentenced to life imprisonment for murder in the first degree. The crimes occurred on or about August 26, 1988. He was approximately 21 years old at the time of the incident offense. Does this sound correct so far, Mr. Hopper?
Yes.
Thank you. He's been eligible for regular parole since September 24, 2013. It should be noted that he was also convicted for the additional charges of kidnapping, theft, and possession of drug paraphernalia, the prison terms of which have since expired. He has a criminal history which includes an out-of-state 1985 conviction for criminal recklessness with a deadly weapon and theft, which resulted in probation, and he also has arrests for trespassing, theft, and disorderly conduct. Mr. Hopper, were you on probation when you committed the incident offense? Okay. But the probation was from out of state, is that correct, sir?
That's correct.
Thank you. I will now read a summary of the offense in question. On August 26, 1988, between 1 and 1:30 a.m., Frank Figueroa was beaten by Mr. Hopper and two associates while at 2645 East Van Buren, unit number 42 in Phoenix, Arizona. The victim was then transported to the desert area near Solano Lake in his truck by Mr. Hopper and Martin Dale Early. While en route to the desert, the victim was stomped repeatedly by Martin Early and eventually left in the desert dead after being beaten. Mr. Hopper and Mr. Early were subsequently stopped by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office for vehicular violations. He was arrested and booked into the Maricopa County Jail for murder, kidnapping, theft, reckless driving, and possession of drug paraphernalia. And that is a short version of the offense in question. According to Ames, he has received considerable programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. I should note that at least until the lunch period, we did not receive an inmate progress report, which often has a release plan. So we'll ask you about that as the hearing progresses, Mr. Hopper. I will note he has a significant history of discipline in the Department of Corrections from 1990 through 2018, with his last ticket a minor on November 30th, 2018 for disorderly conduct, and his last major on July 1st, 2016, also for disorderly conduct. This is his seventh hearing before the board. I did not find any letters of support, nor a letter of opposition, although we do have a prosecutor from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office on the telephone right now, Mr. Schutz. Mr. Hopper, this is another opportunity for the board to get to know you. Can you tell us in your words about the crimes that resulted in your incarceration and why you should be considered, pardon me, why you should be considered for supervised release? Thank you, sir.
Well, in order for me to do that, I have to be able to remember it.
What the what?
Okay, so am I correct that you have no recollection of the incident?
No, I had a drug problem by birth, and I was inebriated during that time. It had been for quite some time.
When you say for quite some time, sir, like how long do you mean?
Years.
Okay, so you were under the influence of drugs, alcohol, or both?
Both.
Okay. And when you say for years, are you meaning that you were under the influence of drugs or alcohol constantly for years?
Yes, sir.
How much were you drinking, sir?
Well, it depends. You know, whatever money I could get or whatever I could steal.
Okay, and what sort of drugs were you using?
I was using meth.
Exclusively meth or other drugs too?
I was using pretty much exclusively meth, but I occasionally smoke weed.
Okay, sir. Again, I do want to commend you for having quite a bit of programming. It looks like, and just give me one second, because as I stated, we don't have an inmate progress report, which usually has a summary. Just one second. It looks like that you've had quite a bit of programming between the years of 2004 and 2018. Also, it looks like you may have taken some classes to develop some work skills. It looks like, did you take automotive technology?
Yes, sir. I've taken wastewater, I've taken, program management, I've got my associate's degrees. In small business, I have obtained countless certificates in aeronautics as well.
I saw a quick note here, just one second. Did you have sex offender treatment?
No.
Okay. Okay. Bear with me. It's just a note that's in Ames, and that's why I was fumbling through some forms here, because I saw that in passing. Again, you did take quite a bit of programming. On the personal development side, which class do you think served you best? I saw you took thinking for change, conflict resolution. Were there any classes that you found particularly useful?
Yeah, I took DBT, which is, it helps me to deal with my borderline personality disorder, which helps me deal with a lot of the stress that I perceive around me.
You stated that at the time of the crime that you had been under the influence of drugs or alcohol for a long time. Were you able to clean up inside the Department of Corrections?
Yes, I have.
How long have you been sober, sir?
30 years.
So you, did you have any ongoing use of drugs inside the Department of Corrections, which we recognize as routine?
Yeah, I have never had a 30-year or refuse a 30-year.
Have you attended AA or NA since you've been inside prison?
Yes, I have.
Have you found that helpful?
Yes, I have.
Okay, you were going to say something, sir, pardon me.
Well, I was going to say that I've taken Hazleton, I've taken any program that I could possibly help myself in regards to understanding some of the events that happened to me when I was a child that I felt, how do I say this, were excuses to facilitate my drug use.
And did, I'll leave it to your discretion as to whether you want to share anything, but are you saying that you had some troubles when you were a child?
Yes, sir, I did. But here's the thing. I'm 51, getting ready to be 52. Yes, I had a bad childhood. Yes, I've been in several state hospitals growing up as a child. But that doesn't preclude me from taking responsibility and being a man and standing up and saying, hey, you know, this is the best time for me. How do I say this? I can't lay it at the feet anymore. I have to take responsibility for my own actions and say, you know what, it's time for me to make a change. Because it don't matter anymore because they're not in my life anymore.
So as I stated, we don't have an inmate progress report. So what is your plan should this board vote to grant supervised release?
Well, I have 3 halfway houses that I've been accepted to. Anywhere I know, I'm going to be getting treatment there, and I'm also going to be getting treatment from psychological treatment from the Mason Mercy Maricopa Hospital to deal with my borderline personality and psychological problems.
Mr. Hopper, based on your therapy or treatment, if you don't mind me asking, what all does borderline personality disorder entail? What are the common symptoms?
I don't know. That's what the doctors have told me. That's, I see things in different shades, but that's all I know.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you for your honesty, and I'm certainly not trying to put you in an embarrassing or uncomfortable position. I'm just trying to understand the case. So you've been accepted into 3 halfway houses?
Yes, sir.
Do you have some sort of work plan or support from the community?
Well, my first goal is to get my head right. It's, that's why I mentioned the Mercy Maricopa, because that's my first responsibility, is to get my hands straight before I can even attempt that. Because social settings such as this and other things, I draw back into myself because I don't socialize well with other people.
there any particular reason why we do not have any letters of support or support in the hearing room today, sir?
Well, I've had support letters sent in the past, hearings, and they don't do no good. I don't know. I've pretty much given up.
Well, sir, the point of incarceration, at least with a 25-year-to-life sentence, is not to crush hope. The possibility of home arrest or regular parole is very real. In fairness, I would say that support letters are just one of the many factors that we take into consideration when we make our individual votes. But I will say that letters of support and support from the community are important. They are an important factor. So I encourage you not to abandon all hope. And if you have support out there, it is important to hear from them. I know it may seem to you that it doesn't matter, but these boards are comprised of individuals. The boards turn over and have different members over time. And we look at a lot of different factors. So just keep that in mind. You said that you've had letters sent in the past. What sort of people have written letters for you?
Well, I've had a branch president of Mormon Church from out here that has written to the board before. I've had a city councilman for the city of Stafford who's written in my behalf. I've had countless officers who have sent things to the board. And apparently, the fact that I've turned myself around, it's demoralizing to the point where it's like, I don't even care if I get out anymore.
Well, sir, this hearing is your right, and you'll be certified for hearings in the future, regardless how this board votes. Even if you were returned to the community, you would come before the board again, and we would consider your status and standing and your transition into the community. But if it doesn't matter to you anymore, why are you having this hearing today?
Mr. Hopper, you said that you don't do well in social situations, but I just want to say to you today that this is a pretty high pressure situation, and I think you're doing very well. You're doing better than many, many others that we see. So please take some encouragement from that. And whether you ultimately want to get out. That's going to be up to you, but just make a note for yourself that today you did well. Thank you, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further questions from fellow board members? Mr. Hopper, I do want to echo what my colleague, Ms. Rittenhouse, just said. many times in these hearings, I certainly try to motivate and encourage, but I think she hit the nail on the head, so to speak, for you having some sensitivities to social situations. I think you're conducting yourself quite well today, and I commend you for that. At this point, I'm going to ask the prosecutor from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, who's on the telephone right now, if he'd like to share anything with the board. So, Mr. Schutz, I know it's you, but if you can state your full name for the record.
Yes, my full name is Bob Schutz, S-H-U-T-T-S. I'm currently employed by the Maricopa County Attorney's Office.
And
we have been for a number of years.
Thank you, sir. And what would you like to share with the board today?
I was at the last hearing, and I jotted down some notes from the last hearing, which are pretty similar to this hearing. You know, the board had some questions about his mental health issues, his treatment, his lack of support from the community, and things of those nature, which I'll share with you in just a second. But I wasn't able to hear Mr. Hopper very well, but I believe I did hear him say that he has no memory of the events of the assault that led to the victim's death in this case. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, Mr. Schatz.
And I find it just a little troubling that he has no memory of it, because we had witnesses during the trial. I was the trial attorney in this case, and we had witnesses at the trial that he spoke to immediately after this happened, and he gave them both. One fellow's name is Donald Davidson, and the other fellow's name was Mr. Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z, or S-C-H-U-L-T-Z, and he gave detailed statements to them about what happened to the victim in this case, and ended up trying to sell the victim's truck to them after this was all done, after he was killed and left for dead in the desert. So I've got some problems with that, that he hasn't really dealt with what he did, and he's claiming that he doesn't remember it. Now, the notes that I took during the last hearing, if I can find my paper here, but he looks like he has done some programs. He hasn't done any recent programs. Is that, am I correct with that as well?
I think he has had a program in 2018 when I was making that quick review. What I did state is that we didn't receive an inmate progress report, but we did receive his collection of classes that he's taken, and he's taken quite a few all the way through to IHP. I think it's short for toleration, which was in March of 2018, and also some sort of, it says reentry PGM in 2017.
I know that during the last session there were some questions about a mental health evaluation from some type of mental health expert. I don't know that that had been done to the board satisfaction. I know it wasn't at the time. But it's clear that he really doesn't have any support. I'm sorry to hear that. But the last I was aware of, he had a sister, I believe, or a cousin who lived in Indiana, and that was his closest form of support. So I knew the victim's sister in this case throughout the trial. Really nice lady. I know that it was severely impacted by this, as I'm sure all victims are by this type of a crime. But I'm going to go on record to say I'm opposed to his release at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Schatz. I do have a question for you as the trial prosecutor. Years ago, when you went through adjudication, was he saying he couldn't remember them too?
I don't have any memory of when he took the stand. I don't believe that he took the stand, so I have no information regarding that. I'm just saying that in the hours following the death of the victim in this case, he met with two people at the apartment complex and gave them detailed accounts of what actually happened, which is consistent with the physical evidence that we had at the time and other statements about what happened to the victim, including the medical examiner's office.
Thank you, Mr. Schutz. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I have no questions from fellow board members. Mr. Schutz, if you wish, you can stay on the telephone. I recognize you're probably busy, but you can either continue to listen to the hearing or you can disconnect at this point.
I'd be happy to listen to the hearing. I think I'm going to be able to hear the board members better than I heard Mr. Hopper.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Hopper, back to you. We're getting very close to the end of your hearing, but before we start to bring it to an end, I do want to ask you, has this been your position over the years for the entire time that you have no recollection of what happened during that?
I do.
Okay. Well, the board will be going into discussion now, we're getting near the end of your hearing, and this is a chance for you to give a final statement. So is there anything else that you would like to share with the board? We really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there something more that you feel is important for us to know or understand? Thank you, Mr. Hopper.
No, there's nothing
else I'd
like to add.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this was a fairly brief encounter with Mr. Hopper. I think the summary hits the major points. The fact remains that Mr. Hopper states that he does not remember the incident offense, that he was under the influence of drugs and alcohol for quite some time. I do commend him for pursuing sobriety since he's been inside the Department of Corrections. It looks like that he has received considerable programming in DOC. He made reference to having reached out to some halfway houses for a possible transition into the community, and that although we don't have any letters this time, that he does have support in the community. I guess I have a fundamental problem with the memory issue and conflicts that may have been presented during the trial. I certainly don't want to get in an argument with Mr. Hopper. If it's his position that he doesn't remember, then that's what he's sharing with the board. But between having no recollection and having ongoing personal behavioral health issues, I'm having a hard time seeing him as a suitable candidate for community supervision, especially when accountability and remorse figuring so heavily, and that's where I begin the discussion. Yes, sir. The only Ms. Gilbert.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I think it would be very difficult for Mr. Hopper to do well in the community without a good support system around him. He, although his crimes were violent at this point in his life, in his current state, he's in a vulnerable position, and I think he would not, it would be very difficult for him out there.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further input from my colleagues? Yes, gentlemen, Mr. Johnson.
I'm in agreement with Ms. Rittenhouse, but I also have some concern about his conduct since he's been incarcerated. I mean, he doesn't follow rules. A lot of it's just disobeying or basically really boils down to just not following rules. And if he's going to be out on home arrest or parole, then he's going to have some strict recommendations that he's going to have to abide by. He's just not doing a good job while he's incarcerated and doing that right now. He has 3 pages of raps, a rap sheet. Since he's been incarcerated, he has his last incident was just in November of 2018 for a disorderly conduct, which was a minor. So that's my concern.
Yes, Mr. Johnson, and not to mention that he had a major as recently as 2016. I want to thank you for pointing that out. Near the end, when I began the discussion, I had this moment of blankness, and I'm like, what am I not mentioning? And it is his discipline, which is a strong indication as to whether or not an individual will adhere to the conditions of parole or community supervision, and I think that's a very important point. Any further input from my colleagues? I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is regarding Mr. Joseph Hopper, ADC number 078426. My motion is to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or hold arrest, and based on the date of the crime, which occurred on August 26, 1988, I am also asking for a 1 year set off, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Great.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Again, parole set off for 1 year, release type denied 4-4-8-4-11 or HA. And the reasons for denial are as follows: serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victims, serious bodily injury, prior criminal history, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infraction, at this point, based on the fact that we have no additional information inside the packet or letters or support inside the hearing room, I'm going to check no family or community support system. Is there anything else that my colleagues wish to add? Okay, Mr. Hopper, this board has unanimously decided to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. Did you have reasons for denial? Did you hear them?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well then, sir, you will be certified again to appear before this board in a year. Personally, I do encourage you to appear before this board in a year, and we hope to hear about more development, and we do wish you well on your rehabilitation. This will bring our hearing to a close, and we'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. Hopper. Thank you for being so cooperative today.
Thank you.